All right, I want you all to imagine. You are in an interview for the job of your dreams. You know if you get this job, everything's gonna be awesome. You've wanted this job your entire life. And here you are sitting in this interview, and the interviewer asks you a really tough question about your past. Oh, the pressure builds. Am I honest? Do I tell him about me, or do I embellish it just a little bit to make me look just a little bit better? And in those moments, you find yourself saying, but God, if I'm honest, I may not get this job. Now picture yourself sitting in a doctor's office, and the doctor has just come in, and he has given you a life-altering diagnosis. Life is never going to be the same. People are talking to you about, oh, this treatment works, oh, you should do this, oh, this should happen. There's so many different narratives coming to you from every different direction. You're overwhelmed, you're uncertain, you don't know what's going on, and you find yourself whispering, but God, how can I trust you in this? This seems so big. Now imagine there's something you want to buy. Worldly wealth and status, you know, it's important to you. You see something you really, really want, but you can't afford it, but you want it. So you start grappling around with all the ideas of what you can do to get it, and you find yourself saying, but God, how can I trust you to provide for me when the future looks so uncertain? Now picture yourself. Losing a loved one in a tragic and devastating accident. It came out of nowhere. You weren't ready for this. In the quiet of the morning, in the quiet of the night, as you're sitting there and you're overrun by all the grief that you're feeling over this loss, you find yourself whispering out, but God, why? Why did they have to die? They were good. Why do you let bad things happen to good people? Now, with each of those, I said imagine or think or picture, but my guess is for some of those, you didn't have to imagine or picture or think about it because you've experienced it. Am I right? Well, for every single one of those, they've been a part of my life. In the past 49 years on this earth, I have lived in every single one of those scenarios, whether it was trying to stick to my morals or embellish just a little bit to make myself look better, or going from doctor to doctor to doctor, not getting answers, and then finally being told I have 7 different autoimmune diseases that have no cure, and my only option is to deal with it, struggle with it, and just make life the best I can every single day. Or wanting something so badly because I think it's going to make me feel better in the moment, and having that moment of, I really can't afford it, but you know, if I don't tithe this month, maybe I can buy it. Or watching my dad die a painful death from cancer just 3 weeks after finding out he had cancer. Or watching my friend mourn the loss of her 3-year-old because of the negligence of an adult that was put in charge of protecting him. Or sitting with my friend in the quiet hours of the morning trying to make sense of why her husband was taken. So I've lived every single one of these. And in every single one, I find myself saying a defeated, but God. Can you relate? Well, with that, I want to say, welcome to church. My name is Michelle York. I am on staff here at Christ the King, and it is my privilege and my honor that I get to share this message with each of you today. So today, we are going to be digging into moments in our lives where our initial response is one of defeat, but God. However, my hope is, even though I can't answer those but God questions, I don't have the answers, and none of us are going to have the answers this side of the cross. My hope is that as we dig into this message today, that we can turn those defeated but God moments into a victorious but God. Our decisions become defining moments in our walk with Christ. Those scenarios that I shared aren't just hypothetical situations. These are snapshots of our lives. These are moments where the rubber meets the road in our faith journey. And each decision we face, whether it's big or it's small, carries profound significance in our relationship with God. And today, I want us to reflect on how our choices in these pivotal moments shape the very fabric of our walk with God. So we're in this series called Under the Hood. We're taking a trip through 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 4 over these 8 weeks. And this is where Paul is looking under the hood of the Corinthian church to help fine-tune the engine so that it could be a more effective vehicle for the gospel that God desired. On week 1, Stephen brought us diagnostics and function. He explored how the church is made up of imperfect people serving a perfect God. And then in week 2, Pastor Kyle continued with divide and lose. There was the struggle of unity within the church. And so even though they were all preaching the same gospel, there was division and there were camps or cliques, that sort of thing. If you missed either of those, I do encourage you to go back and watch them because they are very impactful and powerful. So I do encourage you to go to our website and take a look at those. And I'm going to warn you right now, we're in a series called Under the Hood, and the guys, they kept sharing all these like car things. I don't know anything about cars, so I couldn't tie anything to a car. Sorry. So all that's gone. We're not doing that today. But today, we're going to dig into this next piece, and we're actually going to finish out chapter 1. And this is what I titled today's message, Engine of Salvation. There's my car reference, I guess, right there. So we're going to look at how the cross is our ultimate power source. Now, if you know me, you know I'm a very practical thinker, okay? I'm logical, all the things. So I like to present an idea and then give you some practical steps so you can take that idea and put it into your everyday life when you walk out of these doors. So today, I want to give you 4 steps to turning your defeated, but God, into a declaration of victory, but God. See the difference there? So we're going to be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. So first, we're going to take a look at verses 18 through 25. And this is the biggest part of the message. So if you get concerned that I'm going and you're like, she's never going to end, don't worry. I promise you, I will get you out of here on time. All right, so 18 through 25. The message and the scriptures will be on the screen. They're also in your notes, or, of course, you can open your Bible. And I'm sharing from the New Living Translation today. Usually ESV, but today I chose NLT because my tongue kept getting tied on the ESV version, so we're going to go with this one. So the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. And the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. So in these verses, Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and he is highlighting this ironic nature of the message of the cross. Now, as we learned last week, Paul did not come to Corinth to gain disciples for himself. He came simply to preach the gospel. It was not filled with philosophical arguments or supernatural acts. It was just simply the cross, Jesus crucified on behalf of sinners. And when a message of this magnitude is shared, people are going to fall in one of two camps. One, this is complete nonsense. Two, this is ultimate power. He acknowledges that to those who have not accepted or embraced this message of the cross, The message seems silly, but to those who have embraced it and accepted it, it is power. It is the very power of God. The world's wisdom is shown to be useless in comparison to God's wisdom, which is demonstrated in the seemingly silly act of Christ's crucifixion. Despite the objection of Jews and Gentiles, the message of the cross remains central to Christian faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I like proof. All right, I like to fact check, like I want to know. I like when things make sense. I like when things are logical. My friend Lee, who's on staff, she said it scratches your brain. And I can feel that statement, right, whenever I'm talking about things that are logical and practical. I will be scrolling on Instagram, and I will see a picture of some actor or public figure that I really admire and I trust, and there's like this profound quote, like with the picture. We've all seen them. If you've been on Facebook, you've seen them. And you want to share it. I know I want to share it. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that's so profound. I want to share it. But I don't until I, one, research, did they actually say it? And two, find out if they're actually worthy of me sharing their message. So that's human nature, or at least it is for a lot of people. Not everybody, because obviously somebody shared the fake quote at some point, so they didn't fact check. But most of us, we like proof. We like to research it. And it's fine. Fact-checking is fine. Worldly knowledge is fine when it comes to social media. But where does that logic fall when we're looking at the message of the cross? Do you look at every word looking for proof because it seems too good to be true, or maybe it seems too crazy to be true? The truth of the matter is, if we try to make sense of the gospel according to worldly wisdoms, it's never going to make sense. I'm not saying that worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge is bad. It has its place. We need it. But when it comes to the message of the cross, the gospel message, when it comes to our salvation, it's worthless in this situation. When we allow ourselves to get so caught up in the prove it to me mentality, we are totally gonna miss out on those little miracles of God that are all around us. I call them God knots. They're those little seemingly insignificant, small, but super cool moments when things just kind of work out in a way you never thought possible. They're little nods from God. But when my focus is so ingrained in human wisdom and worldly signs, I don't notice the nods that God is giving me. But then I have those moments when I have nothing left in me and I have no choice but to lean 100% on God and his ways. And this week was an example of that. Now, I'm going to be sharing some details today of an event that took place in the past week. I was given permission to share these details. To say God always has a plan is an understatement. You see, I knew, like Ori said, I knew months ago that I was going to be teaching today. I knew I was going to be teaching on these scriptures today. But God knew it all along. He knew that on this day, April 21st, 2024, Michelle would be standing here preaching on verses 18 through 31, wearing a summer outfit when it's cold. He knew that, all right? Way bigger than us. Something we'll never, ever understand. So last week, my phone rang. It was around 3-something in the morning. I don't know what time it was. Now, I don't know about you, but if my phone rings past 8 p.m., it's never good, because everybody knows what time does Michelle go to bed? 8 p.m. So my phone rings. I get up. Now, I'm 49 years old, so I can't see. So I'm, like, struggling to find my glasses, like, who's calling me, trying to figure it out, and I see it's Pastor Jason. So I answer the phone. I don't even think I said hello to the man. I'm pretty sure the only words that came out of my mouth was, "What's wrong, Jason?" Because why was he calling me? It was then, in that moment, that I found out that a very dear friend had been killed in an accident. The news was devastating. I didn't know what happened. I didn't really understand what happened. All I knew is that I needed to get my butt out of that bed and get in some decent clothes and get myself to my friend as quickly as possible. So I did. As I was driving, I was praying. And as I was praying, these scriptures that I'm reading to you today, God kept washing them over me. And God said to me in those moments, as I was driving, If you keep trying to make sense of this according to the knowledge of this world, it's never going to make sense. Stop trying. Lean on me. Listen to me. Keep your eyes and your ears and your heart open to me. So I got there, probably within 25 minutes of getting the call. And I'll be honest with you, man, I walked in and I felt useless. I didn't really understand what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't know what I wasn't supposed to be doing, right? I was utterly confused. But I was there to practice the ministry of presence, as Pastor Kyle calls it, and I love that. I listened. We laughed. We cried. We told stories. To say it was a roller coaster would be an understatement. Being there beside my friend as she had to share this devastating news with her girls is probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. So I can't imagine how hard it was for her. As I sat beside her, I'm in my head and I'm praying, but God, what is going on? The whole time I'm sitting there. And God kept saying, listen, I've got this. I've got them. I'm going to give them strength. I'm going to give them peace. I'm going to provide for them. I've got this. So I just kept leaning into him and letting him minister in those moments. So over the next week, lots of things were going on. There were lots of moving pieces. There were things that had to happen, things that had to be clarified, things, just lots of things happening. And through it all, I kept finding myself saying, but God, in a defeated way. So I made the decision at some point in the week to take the own words that God had been putting on my paper and turn my defeated, but God, into but God, and be open to all those victorious but God moments he had for us. Because you see, miracles don't always look like miraculous healings. They don't always look like something that's worthy of being on the news. Sometimes there's simple little moments where God gives us that nod to remind us he's got us, our God nods. Now, I had lots of God nods this past week. And I'm going to share a couple of them with you today. Not all of them. We don't have time. There's a clock counting down. It's very, it makes me anxious watching it, but we're good. But I want to share a couple of these with you. So at one point this past week, there was somewhere I needed to be. The family had asked me to be there, and I said, yes, I will be there. But you know how life works and responsibilities work. Things came up. So if you don't know, we have a community place here. We have a playground down the hallway. We have volunteers who come and serve each day to oversee the playground, make sure the kids are safe, playground gets locked, all the things. Well, on this particular day, the volunteer was unable to come. So I'm sitting in this lobby right here. By the way, if you're looking for volunteer opportunities, come talk to me. All right, so I'm sitting in this lobby right here, and I'm like, God, how am I going to do this? Like, I've got to be there at this time, but this is open till that time. Logically, I can't get from here to there. How am I going to do this? So I'm like racking my brain, trying to figure out who to call, what to do. And then down the hallway comes Lee. She comes and she's got a look on her face like, I'm like, oh no, what's wrong? You know, nothing else, please, nothing else. And she comes down and she goes, oh, we had a potty accident in the playground. It has to be closed down to be cleaned and sanitized. It was a God nod. He used a potty accident to close the playground so I could leave and be where I needed to be. Nothing miraculous. The news isn't going to report on that. But nonetheless, it was a God nod. So I was able to get there. I was able to be there with the family. The other piece of this, and the family doesn't know this, is I also had a doctor's appointment that I had to get to. I was like, it'll be fine. The doctor's right around the corner from where we are. It's going to be okay. So I checked my GPS when I got there. So I knew, okay, this is how long it's going to take me to get from point A to point B. So I know it's going to take me 11 minutes. So I have to leave at 12 till, you know, because we need a buffer. So leave at 12 till to get me to this doctor's appointment. Now, I had already missed this doctor's appointment this week. I couldn't miss it again, right? You know how doctor's offices work. So I didn't want to miss it again. So I'm like, okay, going to leave at 12 till. No big deal. Well, in the moment I was supposed to be leaving, I was in a conversation with someone from the family. who hadn't really had the chance to process yet. And it was in this moment she's finally able to process what's going on. So as I sat on my knees in the floor at her feet, ministering to her, my brain immediately started going to my worldly knowledge. It's going to take me 11 minutes to get there. It's now 10 till. I'm going to be late. And God said, zip it. I've got you. But God, like, how can you get me somewhere in a few minutes when it's going to take 11? Zip it and be here. I got you. So I decided to let it go, release my brain, and be in that moment and spend that time with her. I walked out with 4 minutes to get me to my doctor's appointment. Oh, I was freaking because I like to be on time, right? So I'm like pulling up my phone, trying to call them, like to apologize. Hey, I'm going to be late. The call won't go through. I'm not saying didn't answer the phone. I'm saying my phone would not make the call. No calls would go through. And I'm like, just get in the car and drive. So as I pull out and I'm in Fort Mill, Baxter area, if you know anything about Baxter, at 4:45 in the afternoon, it's not a pretty sight, all right? So I pulled out and I realized quickly why my drive was gonna take me 11 minutes, and it was that big wall of traffic in front of me that was not moving. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I keep trying to call. This is, you know, how am I gonna let them know? In that moment, the car's in front of me. I can see the road I've got to turn on. If I could just get to that road, I could turn right and I'm golden. I'm gonna be there. Big long line of cars. In that moment, all the cars in front of me started fighting to get into the left lane. I mean, they were like nudging and pushing, and I'm like, what is going on? Is the lane closed? That's all I need. So they are all fighting to get over. And then I noticed every single car leading up to the road I needed to turn on, just Bruce Almighty, if you ever saw the movie, separated and opened up the lane, and I was able to drive all the way to the road I needed to get to turn right, get into my doctor's office on the minute I was supposed to be there. So that 11-minute drive took me 4 because of a God nod. Again, not some huge miracle, but God was nodding. This is where you need to be. So are we open to seeing those God nods? So I was hearing this voice in my head telling me to do something that seemed so counterintuitive to what I needed to be doing. But had I relied on my human knowledge of it's going to take me 11 minutes to get there, I would have missed out on this beautiful opportunity to be with this family. So I'm so thankful that I listened to God and I took the opportunity to trust Him and His ways to get me there. So step one, and yes, we're only on step one, but don't worry, the rest go faster. Step one to turning your defeated but God into a victorious but God is to discover the shocking truth. So the shocking truth is simply that this message that may seem so silly is actually the very power and wisdom of God. Acknowledge this truth. Accept that the reality of the cross is the ultimate display of God's power and wisdom. Make a choice to understand that what seems like weakness in this world is truly just the opposite. It's actually the source of strength and salvation in Christ. In a world that's chasing temporary wisdom, the cross stands as an eternal mark of true salvation. We all have a choice in these life-defining moments. Like I said earlier, I don't have answers to your but God, defeated by God questions. And honestly, I don't think we'll ever get those answers this side of the cross. But we do get to choose to let our victorious but God moments outweigh and outshine those defeated but God moments. And my prayer for each of you today is that you lean into the power of the cross and you ignore the wisdom of this world so that your but God moments, those victorious but God moments, can shine through. And now we're going to move on to step two. All right, so now we're going to be in verses 26 through 29. And it'll be on the screen again. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing to what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. So in these verses, Paul is reminding us that God's criteria for choosing individuals to carry out his plans is often very different from the world's standards. So many of those God has called are not esteemed in the eyes of society. They're not powerful, they're not extremely intelligent, they're not wealthy, you know, all the things that the world deems valuable. However, God deliberately selects the seemingly foolish and powerless to confuse the wise and powerful of the world. And this passage emphasizes God's intentional reversal of human expectations and his ability to use the disregarded and insignificant to accomplish his purposes. Now, embracing God's surprising wisdom, we recognize that his ways exceed human understanding and conventional wisdom. While the world may view God's choices as illogical, we trust him and acknowledge that his thoughts are higher than ours. Instead of relying solely on human reasoning, we submit to God's wisdom and acknowledge his ability to work through unlikely vessels. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I kept questioning God last week. Why was I the one Jason called? Why was I the one to be there sitting beside my friend? I don't have giftedness and care. I'm logical. I'm practical. You give me a to-do list that I can check off, I'm a happy camper. And if you put a spreadsheet to it, oh, my mind's blown. I like my spreadsheets. But as I walked alongside this family last week, my spreadsheets were useless. Outside looking in, I wasn't the right person for this job. But God doesn't care that the world thought I wasn't the right person. God doesn't care that the world thinks I'm not a suitable candidate. All that mattered is that God thought I was the right person for these moments. So step two to turning your defeated but God into a victorious but God is embrace God's unexpected wisdom. It boils down to one word, and that's trust. We have to trust that God's ways are bigger and better and higher than our ways. We must trust his wisdom that overturns the world's standards of who should be doing something or who shouldn't be doing something. We must trust that through his power, redemption and transformation is going to take place. Now, if I hadn't trusted God, if I had said, Jason, you need to call Simone or you need to call Kyle, I'm not the right person, I would have missed out on some beautiful God nods. And my friend may not have gotten the support and care that she needed in those moments. So where the world sees silliness, God reveals his wisdom through the cross. And my prayer for each of you today is that you don't question God for why he has you, where he has you, when he has you there. You just trust his wisdom is so much bigger than any of us can ever understand. Moving on to step three, verses 30 through 31. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom himself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. So in these verses, we are reminded of the foundational truth of our faith. God has united us with Christ Jesus, who is the embodiment of wisdom itself. Through Christ, God has not only reconciled us to himself, but he also gave us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, our confidence and our boasting should not stem from our own wisdom, achievements, or abilities, but from our union with Christ and his work on the cross. So step three to turning your defeated but God into a victorious but God is develop humble confidence. To develop humble confidence, we must shift our focus from ourselves to God and his faithfulness. Instead of boasting on our own wisdom or strength, we boast only in God, acknowledging his power in our lives. This humility comes from a deep awareness of our dependence on God and his grace, recognizing that true strength and victory come from surrendering to his will and trusting in his promises. So I encourage you, don't stumble over the cross. Let the cross be your stepping stone to salvation. And my prayer for each of you today is that you allow the cross to shape you and guide your spiritual journey. And lastly, step four. I told you these last ones would go faster. Step four to turning that defeated but God into a victorious but God is embrace the eternal life through the cross. One thing I heard a gazillion times over the past week is that our dear friend Felix, you know, not perfect, none of us are, right? But the one thing he wanted more than anything was for people to hear the gospel message. Hopefully the impact and the magnitude of the fact that the week that he went to be with Jesus is the week that we have a very strong message on the gospel and Jesus. It's not lost on me. Felix knew. He knew we were going to be sharing this message with you today. So the essence of Christianity centers on the transformative power of the cross. In this step, we are called to fully embrace the overwhelming reality that the cross is not just a symbol of suffering and sacrifice, but it's also a doorway to eternal life and salvation. Through the cross, God has accomplished what seemed impossible. He conquered sin, he defeated death, and he vanquished the powers of darkness. The crucifixion of Jesus was not merely an historical event. Hear me. The crucifixion of Jesus was not just a historical event. It was a divine intervention that changed the course of human destiny forever. Beyond the world's momentary promises, the cross offers the eternal promise of life everlasting. And my prayer for you today is that you see the cross for what it truly is, the gift of salvation for each and every one of you. So as you leave here today, I want you to remember this. Your circumstances may seem impossible. Your challenges, overwhelming. But in every situation, you have the opportunity to declare a victorious but God. Trust in his wisdom, trust in his power, and trust in his unfailing love. Let the cross be an anchor for your hope, for your source of eternal life. I pray that as you leave here today, you leave with confidence, knowing that through the cross, God has already secured a victory for you. And may your life be a testimony to the transformative power of a victorious but God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we end our time here together today, I just want to thank you for the powerful truths that we've explored today. God, I pray that you help us carry these insights into our daily lives. Take them out of this room today and into our walk throughout the week, God. God, in the moments of defeat or uncertainty or those moments where we're just feeling completely overwhelmed, God, I pray that you remind us of the victory we have in you. May we trust in your wisdom and power and boast only in your grace, God. God, guide us as we leave today, knowing that through the cross you've conquered sin and death and offered us eternal life. May our lives reflect your love, and may we walk confidently in your promises. It's in the precious and most holy name of Jesus we pray.